This is Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. You're looking inside the South locker room at Everbank Field. We're about 10 minutes after 12 today. Quarterback Blake Bortles will visit with the media. We'll carry that live. Welcome into the rubber hallway. JP Shadrick with you. The Jaguars are getting ready for week 12, going to Indianapolis this week to take on the Colts, the first place Colts. They're 6-4. The Jags are 1-9, trying to find a way to get something going over the final six games of the season. Jaguars this week, of course, Jaguars are back at it after the bye week. We'll visit with Aaron Colvin, one of the Jaguars injured during the Senior Bowl, actually, and was drafted in the fourth round anyway. Well, he's ready to go. He's active and ready to play. We'll hear from Aaron Colvin coming up. And it's Colts Part 2. Of course, Indy hammered Jacksonville here at Everbank Field a few weeks ago. John Osier's with us, of course, senior writer, Jaguars.com. We'll start with that. I mean, this is to get through the AFC South, you got to go through Lucas Oil Stadium.
Well, and much like for the bye, they lost in London. Got to figure out a way to get past that if you're going to play over there a lot. Got to figure out a way to beat the Colts if you're going to win the AFC South. So there's some things this team still has to get past and has to grow into. Beating the Colts, certainly playing better against them, is absolutely key as you go forward.
You mentioned the London bit and the week off after that. So 6 weeks left in the regular season. You hear many fans, and I know you read many fans' comments talking about next season already.
A little bit, yeah.
they're already looking towards next year. But this team can't look towards next year. They got to look to right now.
Well, and it's not fair or correct to say they can save the season. You're 1-9, so the season's not going to be a success in terms of record. But what they can do in the last 6 weeks, they can rewrite how people are going to feel about it. They can change the storyline. They can change how you feel about it. You know, they need to play as they were in the 6 or 7 weeks leading into Dallas. They need to get better. They need to keep improving. All those things that we were feeling, better offensive line play, better running game, better defense. You've got to sort of build on those. If you keep doing that, then you trust that 2-3 times maybe wins can come, and then you're going to feel really good about going into it in the offseason.
Well, it's got to start this week. Indy would be a good place to get that started.
Yeah.
Against a team that's 6-4. They're coming off a loss at home against the New England Patriots. Just the matchup between these two teams. Mm-hmm. You get a feeling that the Jags defensive line has a pretty good matchup this week.
Well, they should, because they've been playing very well. And anytime your defensive line is playing well, you should match up against the opponent. That didn't happen against Dallas. That was maybe the one thing against Dallas that you were really concerned about, is they didn't put pressure on Tony Romo. As a result, there was a clean pocket. As a result, there were big plays to Dez Bryant. So it just goes to show you, if you give an elite quarterback, which Andrew Luck is, time, he's going to beat you. So you have to pressure Andrew Luck this weekend.
For the Jags this week, a couple of players back in the fold off injury. We've heard about a guy's injured, done for the year. Mm-hmm. But some good news this week. Mercedes Lewis is back on offense, John. And Aaron Colvin will make his debut on defense this week. Let's start with Mercedes mm-hmm. Lewis. That's certainly a big help in the run game, at least.
Well, it's a big help in both, because no matter what he's done here, no matter how many fans like to criticize him for what he hasn't done in the passing game, he's an elite-level talent who, when he's on the field, he makes you better. He's a first-round guy. He's a former Pro Bowler. He's everything you want at that position. He absolutely helps in the running game, which will be interesting, because they were running the ball. Even against Dallas, they had 4 yards a carry. One of them was a huge run by Denard Robinson, so the rest of the game they needed work. But they've run the ball well. If you add Mercedes Lewis into that mix, you would figure you run the ball better, which should in turn help Blake Bortles. A quarterback, particularly a rookie quarterback, can depend on that tight end. You get all of his weapons back. It'll be interesting to see how that can help him as you go forward. The negative there, of course, Allen Robinson not in the game, so that could even itself out.
We'll see a lot of Marquise Lee down the stretch here, too, and see if he can handle that. On the other side, Aaron Colvin will get his chance finally, coming off the ACL injury at the Senior mm-hmm. Bowl. He'll play in nickel situations, right. It sounds like.
And we skimmed over it, but Marquise Lee and how he developed, I think, a huge storyline over the last 6 weeks. Aaron Colvin, very interesting, because he's a guy, as most fans know, he got hurt at the Senior Bowl, tore the ACL. They liked him enough to still draft him and to sort of put maybe that position, that slot, on hold until after the bye. Realistically, you knew he wasn't going to come back until deep into the season. And I guess the question now is, what is he going to be? Is he going to be a starting corner? Is he going to be a really, really good nickel corner, which you need in this league? You've got Dwayne Gratz. You've got Demetrius McCray. You've got Aaron Colvin. That's three guys all drafted within the last 2 years. if all those guys are pretty good, then your cornerback situation is not only solved, but very, very good. That's, again, there are so many position groups and so many things on this team that you don't know about. You want to get to the end of the season and start being able to identify groups after the second year of this build that you feel really good about. Cornerback sort of stands out to me as a place where they may feel really good in 6 weeks.
And we'll hear from Aaron Colvin live on set coming up in just a few minutes. Also awaiting Blake Bortles' press conference today. It'll be a little later than normal, about 10 minutes after 12 o'clock. We'll carry that for you live today as well. Speaking of Bortles, okay, it's been, you know, the first couple of weeks in the lineup for him, there's some real positives, mm-hmm. you know, and some real bright spots. But there have been times where he's turned the ball over a lot since then, mm-hmm. and there is some concern in that department. 6 weeks left.
Right.
What do you want to see from Blake?
Well, it gets picked apart so much because he's a rookie quarterback and he's going to be the focus. And you just had Blaine Gabbert not work out here, first round pick. So every eye is on Blake Bortles. And I think what Gus said, it was either Monday or last week, he talked about how when Blake first got in the game, he was playing against the Colts and playing against the defenses that didn't know him. So you play a guy differently. Now he's had time to put his skills on tape, and now in the NFL what happens when you do that is defensive coordinators look at you and they say, okay, we're going to take X, Y, and Z away. Now can you beat us doing the next thing? And as I said this week in the Ozone, it's not inconceivable that he improve in that area and make those steps. Mm-hmm. The players that do that start for a long time a quarterback in the NFL. The players that don't, guess what? Don't. So, I mean, that's really what he's up against now is now he's got to start taking those steps to say, okay, they know I'm going to do this. How am I going to get better against what they think I can't do?
Well, you can't figure it out unless you just go out there and play.
Right. Right.
You got to do that.
I think what you want to see out of Blake in the last six games, he's not going to be perfect. He's not going to look like a Pro Bowler yet, but you want to have some games where the big plays and the big moments and those feelings where you felt really good about them outweigh the interceptions. He's thrown an interception in every game. He's thrown multiple interceptions in most, and a lot of them have gone back for touchdowns. You would like to see that reducing and sort of the seesaw go the other way, if you will. Right now it's been more bad plays than good that you remember, so you want to see that sort of tilt. And by the end of the season, feel a little better about this guy than you do right now. I know the team still has faith that he's going to be a very, very good quarterback, but on the field, I know the fans want to see that seesaw tilt, if you will.
We're awaiting Aaron Colvin. The players are headed off the practice field from walkthrough now. We'll have Aaron Colvin coming up. Blake Bortles scheduled about 12:10 or so, about 10 minutes from right now. We'll carry that for you live as well. You know, how does the schedule look for you down the stretch here? What do you think?
Well, a lot tougher than it was coming out of the bye last year. So. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Cold hallway. Mm-hmm. A lot tougher than it was last year, so that's why I don't know that it's realistic to think that you're going to get 4 out of 5 coming out of the bye. You've got teams that are still playing for playoff positioning. Houston's still in it. The Giants aren't really in it, but you have the Colts, you have the Ravens. So these are teams that are still fighting for it. Very difficult for a 1-9 team to beat those teams. And again, I think you want to see, I said before the season, this team could be better and have a very similar record, maybe not even as good. And I think you're going to see that, but you want to see this team look like it did for a half against Miami, remember, look like that the whole game, look like it did against Cleveland. I don't know if that's going to mean victories or not, but competing late in the game, which they didn't do enough last year, they need to keep doing that. And I think that's where you're going to see improvement the last 6 weeks. You want to see a team that still is playing like it's in it, even if it's not.
And it starts and ends really with turnovers. It's second in the league in turnovers. And you got to hold on to the football.
Right. Well, that's going to be my theme today when I talk to Jed Fish and Blake Bortles. How do you reduce the turnovers? They've got 22, I believe, this season, second in the league. And at the stage they're at in the build, they're not out-talenting people when they play them yet. That's going to be the case in a couple of years. Right now, they're on the razor edge, very thin margin for error, so they can't turn the ball over. It's happened too much, too many plays gone the other way. So how do you reduce that? That's a key question today.
Lots to get to today, John. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, JP.
Let's talk Jagsgiving. The Jags want to give 5 lucky families a chance to win the ultimate Jagsgiving family food and football sweepstakes. Register today at Jaguars.com/Jagsgiving. You can win an amazing home game experience when the Jags host the New York Giants November 30th, including game tickets, parking, a catered tailgate party, field passes, and more. Promotion ends tomorrow, so register today at Jaguars.com/Jagsgiving. Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. Aaron Colvin is with us. It's great to see you. It's really great to see you active. I know you feel the same way, right?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, I feel like all my hard work's finally paid off, and I appreciate you guys for having me.
Let's go back to Mobile, Alabama. I know you hate going back to this, but it's the topic of the week. You're back and active, but the moment it happened in Mobile during that practice, you know, a lot of people had you rated very high to go in that draft. What was the first thought you had, and how quick did that go away?
The first thought in my head was just, I pray I'm okay. The one thing I didn't want to happen was to tear my ACL. But unfortunately, it happened. And, you know, I was pretty hurt by it for the next couple of weeks. But, you know, just after talking to family, talking to different people, I cheered up pretty quick.
And that's something the Jaguar staff was there. That was really your first chance to be around that group. And then they kind of stuck with you. You told the story about running into Gus in the hallway at the combine and saying, hey, we're still on you. But it started there in Mobile, right? You were around that group for the whole week. What your first impression of that group?
My first impression from those guys was just high energy. When I got in there the first day, you know, we had a pretty funny PowerPoint and everybody in the room was laughing. And I just never felt like anything changed with Coach Gus or the coaching staff. They continued just to be, you know, very energetic.
They stayed on you. You're here, fourth round pick. You've been fighting through it the whole time. What's been the most difficult part of the rehab for you?
The most difficult part is definitely it's just been monogamous. I feel like everything just repeats and repeats, and you just make little progress. Sometimes you don't see any progress. But, you know, anytime you're working for something, you always want to see it, you know, paying off. You always want to see progress. And actually with your ACL, it takes a while for you to actually start seeing that. So that was definitely the most difficult part.
Take us through the training staff here. Who helped you out? And a lot of those guys in there do a lot of work and a lot of guys, but they were with you every day, right?
Right. I mean, everybody here really had a part in it, from Justin to Scott to Marlo in the training room, Jess, said, I mean, everybody really had a hand in, you know, helping me out. So without those guys, I definitely wouldn't have got back the way I'm feeling right now.
Aaron, this is a social show. I don't know if you know that. So we're going to go to Twitter right now and get one question in from at Chris Decker T06. And it's pretty general. How rewarding is it to step on the field Sunday after such a long comeback? Just the whole thing put together is a pretty big deal, right?
Right. I mean, I just feel a tremendous amount of blessings my way. You know, I didn't know what the outcome was going to be as far as me playing this year. In my head, I was always going to come back. But, you know, realistically, you know, I knew anything could happen from me being on IR to me being out there. So, you know, when they told me I was active, man, it was just a very great feeling.
There's this room, the defensive backs room, is very young. Everybody has that word all the time, youth, on this team. And it certainly is in the defensive backfield now, but you got a couple second-year guys at corner. You're coming in as a rookie, but it's a group kind of growing together. That process is starting to come along now, right? And everybody's playing better.
It definitely is, man. I feel like, you know, we have a great chemistry between each other. And we've had to grow up quick. I mean, with Alan Ball and Will Blackman, two of our older guys, our veterans, our leaders, you know, they went down. The guys just had to step up and become more leaders and become more of the vocal role and just go out there and just make plays.
Is that you? Are you a vocal guy?
I mean, I definitely grew into it my last 2 years at Oklahoma. But, you know, right now I'm kind of in a learning experience, so I don't want to say I'm acting like a rookie, but I'm trying to make sure I'm right before I can, you know, make sure everybody else is right.
It's hard to chirp when you're on the sideline in the training room, right?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. I mean, when you're not out there with those guys, they're probably not going to listen to you too much.
What do you think about the Gus has said you're going to play in the nickel situations. How comfortable are you with that? I guess you just want to be on the field, but take us through the nickel responsibility there. What do you expect?
Well, this would be my first time ever lining up in a slot, but, you know, at Oklahoma, I used to go inside and play man-to-man all the time. So, I mean, we play so much man-to-man, it'll still be kind of the same feeling, but I'm just trying to get adjusted and slow my game down and, you know, just do the right things to help the guys over the top of me. And I feel confident that I can go out there and perform at a high level, and especially with the coaching staff believing in me.
It's a good group of receivers in Indianapolis, too, obviously. Reggie Wayne and T.Y. Hilton and tight ends and Fleener and all this. What do you make of that group? Because I know you watched a lot of film on those guys.
You know, definitely respect them. All those guys can play. They can run. They can catch. They can get open. So when we're playing those guys, you know, you just have to be on your keys. You have to be very detailed with everything. And if you're not, Andrew Luck will make you pay. So you respect all, but at the same time, you got to go out there and play your game.
You can't look at the name on the back of the jersey. Is it tough to do as a rookie? I mean, you were a big-time college player, but going up against these guys that have names in the league. Is that something you have to get past, or do you even think about that at all?
To be honest, you can't think about it. You got to just think about your game. You can respect all but fear none. That's my mentality, and that's definitely the mentality of this team. So, yeah, we realize that they're a good team. They're a great group of receivers, but at the same time, we feel like we can play with the best of them.
You've been in this locker room, of course, all year, and not on the field, but in the locker room around this group. 1-9 team coming off a bye, 6 games to go. Nobody's looking at next year yet. There's 6 very important games left ahead of this team, and that's the mentality they have to have, right, everybody?
Oh, no question. This season is far from being over with, and we still have a lot of goals and aspirations ourselves to finish the season off. So next year is next year. Right now we're focused on getting better each day and just heading towards victory like Coach Gus always talks about.
Congratulations to you. Good to have you back. Good luck to you this week.
I appreciate it.
Aaron Colvin joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Let's go to the South locker room. Quarterback Blake Bortles speaking with the media live.
That's my soul. Hey, can't tackle.
Hey, this guy just beamed A.
You guys
start with
Ryan
O'Halloran.
Oh, all right.
Did you need the week off?
Yeah, I don't know. It was it's part of it. So you know, kind of use it. You know, was able to stay in. You know, we were in here Monday and. You know, got some workout and some meeting time in Tuesday and stayed for a little bit on Wednesday. And then, you know, I went back to Orlando, you know, for a long weekend. And it was good, you know, good to get back, go see friends and family. And, you know, I'm excited to get back as well as everybody else is, you know, excited to get back and get back with the group and with everyone and get after it.
With you that you go on the field, these next 6 weeks, the off season.
Yeah, you know, I think just continue to try and execute. You know, I think we've seen glimpses of it. You've seen glimpses of the running game and the passing game. You know, trying to put a whole thing together. You know, I think continue to learn from things that haven't gone right and continue to try and improve the things that have. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest part of it. Try and limit mistakes and definitely learn from them.
What would you consider a successful last 6 games?
A successful last 6 games for me?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's more than that. You know, I think obviously, the culture here is more than just winning. I think, you know, Gus talks about that all the time. Obviously that's a big part of it. And, you know, but I think it's about continuing to get better, you know, whatever it be. We talk about victory all the time and achieving that. And, you know, I think, obviously doing that, helping the team, you know, become able to do that and put them in a position to have that opportunity.
Facing a team for the second time, what benefit is that, knowing you've seen them on the field?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. You know, never done it before, and, you know, have the opportunity to play them again. So you get to go back and watch, you know, the first game we played against them, and then you get to watch and see the games in between and, you know, how they changed, what they did differently. And you have an opportunity to go play against the same guys, you know, that you've seen once already. So it's definitely a neat opportunity.
How have they changed, and are they any different?
Similar, you know, they do stuff. I think everybody does stuff different weeks, you know, depending on the personnel of the offense that they're playing. But I think who they are is who they are and what they're going to do. And I'm sure they'll use a lot of what they did against us, you know, cause it worked out all right for them. So, you know, we'll have to be able to kind of counter that and be sharp.
How much does it help to get Mercedes back?
Huge help, you know, him being out. It allowed some other guys to step up, you know, Clay and Nick Jacobs and some other guys. But, you know, obviously him being back is awesome. He's a huge target, you know, super athletic, can go get the ball. He's, you know, definitely a huge help in the running game blocking. And, you know, I know he's excited to be back as well.
Do you expect him to have any rust, or do you expect him to step right in because he's been back for a few weeks here?
Yeah, you know, I think he's been working his tail off. You know, I know he's ready to get back. He looked good in the walkthrough this morning. But, you know, I'm sure he's pumped. You know, he was over running on the fields every day when we were practicing, when he was out. I talked to him yesterday, said he feels really good, said he feels ready to go. So I'm excited.
On Monday, with 22 turnovers, obviously not all yours. Any post-bye thoughts on how to get that?
Yeah, I think it's just something that we got to continue to be conscious of. You know, we talk about it all the time, you know, all about the ball, and just continue to have a conscience about it and protect it and take care of it. You know, you don't need to be timid with it, you know, especially playing quarterback, but you got to be smart with it and, you know, understand, you know, when to take shots, when not to. I mean, things are going to happen. You're going to get some bad breaks you know, turnovers are going to happen. But you know, you want to limit those. And definitely try to not turn it over so much.
Feel good about that last couple of weeks before the bye?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the interception number's gone down. You know, we're down to one. So I guess you could say that's getting better. But the goal is to have none. You know, you don't want to turn the ball over at all, especially playing quarterback in this league. It's hard to do. But it's something that we're continuing to work on, and it's a work in progress.
Hey, the last couple of games specifically, have you seen the defenses just do what they do as opposed to testing you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think from week to week, it's kind of what we've seen is what they've, you know, showed on film. Which is cool, and it's an opportunity for us to go out there and try and put, you know, what we've done in preparation all week, obviously into the game. And there's always wrinkles each and every week. Somebody's going to put something in new that you haven't seen on film, or show you something a little different, and that's part of it. But we're able to make adjustments and try and move on.
Like, I guess you guys in here, they self-scouted more about what you guys have done. Did you self-evaluate at all what you've been doing right, not so right, some of those things?
Yeah.
We
had an opportunity to sit down with position coaches before we left and talk about a lot of things, talk about where we were at, what we want to do. Obviously, these next 6 weeks, how things look different. You know, I think one thing, a positive that you can see is the difference between watching our Indianapolis game and watching previous games. You know, something that was a big point of emphasis for me was footwork. And you can see the improvements, you know, from then till now. But obviously there's things that you want to continue to work on. You know, everybody came up with a vision or something, one thing that we wanted to work on and try and get better these next couple of weeks. So I think the big thing was the turnovers inside the opponent's area. I think we had 9 turnovers on their side of the 50. And that hurts because those points are left out on the field.
There you have it. Live comments of quarterback Blake Bortles on Wednesday, headed into week 12. You can see the entire archive press conference coming up on Jaguars.com a little bit later. Busy day, of course, on a Wednesday. The locker room is open to media now. We'll have some interviews from inside the locker room a little later on Jaguars.com. Jed Fish, offensive coordinator, scheduled to speak today as well to see what his group's going to do down the stretch. We'll hear from Gus Bradley after practice today also. And inside the Jaguars, scheduled for this afternoon, too. Our thanks to Aaron Colvin for joining us live on set. Blake Bortles as well in the press conference. John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. That's it for today on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.